Welcome to Cole Sports. You have entered the zone called sports on another level. And now, here's your host, Cole Johnson.
Cole Sports! I am that man, your man, the illustrious tour guide, Cole Johnson. And on this episode, I'm going to introduce to you another in the analyst series for the month of July right now. He hails from Chicago. He now is in Atlanta, and he is the founder and CEO of the 3-Point Conversion. And you can hear his show every Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern. Ladies and gentlemen, I am talking about Mr. Raphael Haynes, a.k.a. Mr. Controversy. Now, he will be on another show of mine, and I'll talk about that at the end of the show. But I want you to listen to reminiscing on the three-peat of the Bulls days, comparing Chicago fandom to Atlanta fandom, and much more. I think you're going to really enjoy it. This is what he had to say. You grew up there at a real interesting time. You were growing up at around the time when the Bulls were just reeling off chip after chip after chip. So how was it growing up then and seeing Jordan in your city just rep the Bulls the way he was doing and just collecting championships like it was going out of style?
Great. You know, we were spoiled. Mm-hmm. You know, as a kid now, you know, I think about the Memorial Day period. And I think, like, this Memorial Day, we had finals was on. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I was growing up with the Bulls, every time it was Memorial Day, that meant the Bulls was playing the Knicks or somebody. You know, that was the right. Eastern Conference Finals, game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. And we were always on. So, but it was great, man. It really got me so spoiled to the point where it was just a given that the Bulls were going to win, or the Bulls were going to, not even that the Bulls were going to win, but the Bulls were going to be near the end. Even the years in 89 and 90, conference finals, Memorial Day, the Bulls were playing on TV. We were playing the Pistons losing. But we always knew we were going to be towards the end. And I think that growing up in that era, it made me appreciate basketball. It made me appreciate toughness, because the Bulls were tough. I think we don't get credit for being tough. You got to remember, we went through the Pistons. We had to defend our championships from the New York Knicks. So we went through maybe five out of six years, we were playing bully teams, you know? And so we don't get credit a lot for being tough. But now, when I look at basketball, one thing I don't like is teams that are soft. And that's because I grew up with that brand of basketball, being tough, mentally tough, prepared. The Bulls were always prepared. And then we always had the best in Michael Jordan. So when I came to Atlanta, believe it or not, Cole, I came to Atlanta in 96. So at the beginning of the last three, when I came to Atlanta and hearing people say that they hated the Bulls and Michael Jordan, I thought I was blasphemy. I'm like, why? Like, why would you hate the Bulls? You know? And living in Atlanta, I know we're going to get into it later, but it was just weird because Atlanta was more of a city where it's a melting pot. So you had people that like the Hawks, Knicks, I mean, different teams, you know, because it's a melting pot here.
Right.
But Chicago is Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, you might have had two or three people that didn't like the Bulls. I knew some guy that loved Indiana, which was weird to us. How you a Reggie Miller fan and you in Chicago? Stuff like that. But it was like, when I came down here, like, what? You hate the Bulls? You're supposed to hate the Knicks. I mean, because that's who we hated. You know what I'm saying? So, but, man, we were spoiled, man. I remember 94 when we lost. That was the first year Jordan wasn't there. We lost to the Knicks after getting cheated by Hugh Hollins when he made that horrible call on Hubert Davidson, and Pippen fired him, then came back like in that summer and said, I made a mistake. But anyway, don't even get me started with that. But I remember losing that series, and I'll tell it, first time I probably told it, man, I ain't watched basketball right after that, man. I didn't watch the Knicks. When Knicks were playing Indiana, I barely watched that, so I missed the classic series when Indiana Knicks were in the conference final and Reggie was going at it with Spike. I missed that. The Houston Knicks game, I only think I watched the last 2 minutes of game 7, Because I couldn't watch it. I think a lot of it, we couldn't watch. It was hard to watch basketball without Jordan and the Bulls or the Bulls. That's how spoiled we were.
Wow. Wow. And I've always wanted to ask that to someone who lived in Chicago around that time, because it seemed really interesting how it seemed as if the people in Chicago, it mirrored how most of the country felt too, because, you know, we saw this dynamic athlete just rule the roost when it came to the NBA for almost 10 years. And then all of a sudden he says, okay, I'm gonna hang it up. And it seemed as if it was a whole shift. Right. And it was hard to really grasp onto how the sport was becoming in that year and a half that Jordan was there. And it actually did seem as if not just people in Chicago, it seemed like much of the country checked out and said, it's not quite as fun. I don't think I would want to watch basketball now. It needs to have Jordan in it. Forget it. And it was just interesting. It was just interesting. But yeah, we definitely get to how you move to the A later. But well, of course, you rep the Bulls, I figured. And in your videos, I've seen you wear Bears jerseys. So do you go hard for all Chicago teams, Bulls, Bears, Blackhawks? And I should ask, which of the baseball teams do you go hard for?
Oh, good. Yes, I do go hard for most of the major league, if not all. I mean, you know, besides soccer. I mean, soccer came to Chicago after I left. So after I would root for them, of course. I wasn't really watching soccer back then. But, you know, now after covering the Atlanta Dream down here, that's probably one of the teams that I root for besides. And WNBA is probably besides Chicago teams. But, yeah, Bears first, Bulls. Cubs are my favorite baseball team. Now, the funny thing about the Cubs and White Sox, and White Sox fans, down White Sox fans hate the Cubs. And they're jealous because, I don't know why, because they had a chip, you know, they won the ring, and I forgot what year they won, but they won the ring. And so I don't understand why they hate the Cubs, but they hate the Cubs. Maybe because the Cubs get so much fanfare. But the Cubs fan, it's not like we hate the White Sox fans. You know, we should be one of the envy of them, but we're not. And but I'm a big time Cubs fan. I don't hate the White Sox. You know, I'm watching them. I root for them. But I'm a Cubs fan, a Blackhawks fan. So I go hard. I'm one of those fans, a fanatic, you know, where like with the Bears, if we lose. And it's funny because, you know, I mean, we hadn't won a Super Bowl. We hadn't been to the Super Bowl since 2006, before then, 1985. So it's not like we're making the playoffs every year. But if we lose, I can't watch SportsCenter. At that time, back then, it was SportsCenter, like SportsCenter or NFL Network highlights. I couldn't watch it until Wednesday. That's how mad I was. Like, it would ruin my whole week. That's how much of a diehard fan I am. Bulls, same way. If we lose, and with playoffs, I go hard. I take it hard. So I'm one of those type of fans, even with the Blackhawks and Cubs. So even with when the Cubs won the World Series, that Game 7, I could not. Going down the stretch in the ninth, I think it was eighth inning when they came back and hit that home run. Ninth. But I was sick. I couldn't watch it no more. I thought Joe Maddon was throwing the game, but I couldn't. I couldn't watch it. Even when it went into overtime and then they had a rain delay, I had to turn it off for a minute. I couldn't do it. It was too much invested. My emotions was just dead. And I was like, if we lose this game, as late as it is, I'm not going to be able to go to work. I'm not going. Like, I already know I'm not going to be able to go to work. So it was. I'm that type of fan, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm that type of fan.
You go hard for your teams. Okay. All right. Well, then my apologies for how the Bears have been the last 7 years. Because they upset me, and I'm not a Bears fan, so I can only imagine how it'd be for you. Ooh, man. I want to know your opinion on this. So we witnessed last year Colin Kaepernick do his stance, and of course the NFL I guess heads outside of Goodell were railing against it, and pretty much the big time payers of the sport was disliking it. Yet you had most players and most other fans I've seen enjoying what he stood for, and they enjoyed the fact that he was able to sort of channel and wake up echoes of what Muhammad Ali did and Jim Brown and other athletes before now. So fast forward to now, and we're starting to see teams basically taking a hands-off approach on him. Do you think that this is, how can I phrase this? Do you think this is a purposeful blackmailing, or do you think it's for NFL teams, they're justifying it by saying, well, he's been 3-19 for the last 2 years, and yeah, he threw for 16 touchdowns and 4 picks last year, but he barely won one game when he started last year. Which of the ledger do you think is more true?
Well, it can't be the what you just stated, the fact that they were 3-19. He's been 3-19 for the last 2 years. The reason why it can't be that, because the fact that the team sucked in football. Mm-hmm. It has not. I mean, we've seen Peyton Manning, you know, have a horrible season his first year. We've seen a lot of good quarterbacks not have great seasons. But you look at their talent wise. No disrespect to anyone, but who did they have? What receiver do they have?
Yeah, Torrey Smith
Right. Shoot, I don't even want to mention Torrey Smith's name. So, they didn't have anybody. So it's hard to win in the NFL. I don't care how talented you are when you don't have a lot of people. Now, true enough, some of that was Kaepernick's fault because he was playing horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, he had, but at some point, but last year, 16-4 with the team he had, 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions with the team he had, can't be that. So I think this is what it is. Not just being blackballed, but I think it's more of, I ain't going to say more of, I think it's blackballed, and I think that's some of it. Like I said, I don't think that's just it, but I also think it's the fact that teams are scared of the backlash that will come if they sign this quarterback.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. I mean, look at what happened last year anyway. You had a lot of people booing and mad at him. I mean, you got to remember, whether you agree or not, this was the American flag
right. That
people felt like he disrespected. Now, I was with him. I agree with why he was standing up. I think that's what people missed the most, is the fact that what he was standing up for and why, kneeling down for, I should say, and why, versus the platform he was using.
Right.
But other than that, I think you have to, you know, as an owner, you do think about that. Man, what would happen if we sign this guy and then people start, you know, protesting, or people say, you know what, we're not coming to the games, or we're that. I mean, you have to think about that. So I think it was a combination of that. And then he got blackballed. I think he did. I think he got blackballed to some degree. So, I mean, right now, it's still, like I'm talking to someone, it's still not too late for him to join the team, and it could be where he just get on the team. It might not be the perfect situation for, you know, but I just think that right now it's not fair, even though he knew what he was doing. But I just think it's, when Mark Sanchez is getting the job, ain't no way in the world Mark Sanchez should have a job and Kaepernick is on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think he is part of being blackballed with certain owners. And then I think it's worrying about what's going to happen. Like, for Kaepernick to come back and play, he's going to have to go to a football city. And what I mean by football city, New York, got to be one of New York teams, Philadelphia, Chicago, Green Bay. He can't go to Miami.
Right.
He can't go to Jacksonville.
I agree with you on that.
You know, he can go to Pittsburgh. Like I said, you look at Ben Roethlisberger, as many times as he's been in trouble for raping or allegedly raping someone, but he's still with the Steelers. Why? People say, because he's white or what? No, it's not. Let's be real. It's not because he's white. Because he's in Pittsburgh.
Right.
That's a football city. The fans really don't care about none of that stuff. Okay, he messed up. That's horrible. But when it's time to play football, as long as he's playing and he's playing well, that's all that matters. Why did you think Vic had a chance to come back? The only teams he could have went to was a football city. Who did he go to? Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And what happened? They didn't care. He won them. He started. This man got a second $100 million contract. The first person in NFL history to get two $100 million contracts. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
He was in a football city that all they cared about was, what are you going to do on the field?
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
And it's beautiful how you express that. And it reminds me of what one of the owners of the Giants, John Mara, said. And he said exactly what you stated. Like, man, gotten these letters from from the season ticket holders that said, if you have Kaepernick on your team, I'm going to pull my season ticket money. We're not going to go to games at all. And he said that that was the biggest issue with the fan base with the Giants, and he would cause a huge distraction. Now, the issue I had with that was, so this guy who basically had a principle for which he stood, and yes, he used it in the backdrop of probably one of the most idolized symbols in the world. I get that. But you also are the same owner that re-signed a domestic abuser after you found out that he did this. You know, so it's maddening to me. And, you know, when I can hear owners say that about on one side of their mouth about one guy, and on the other side say, yeah, even though what he did is worse, we can excuse that because he doesn't affect the bottom line. You know,
Right. No, I'm sorry. I was going to say that's what the NFL is all about. And I've been saying this for years. Okay, you look at the NBA. The NBA is, I mean, right now, the way they've handled situations, they're all about the players, making sure the players are feeling safe. And that's their issue. I mean, true enough, you're going to have issues where the owners and the players don't agree. But for the most part, the commissioner's job is to make sure the players feel safe.
Yeah.
And the owners, to a certain degree, have that feeling as well.
Right.
You know, we want to do it the right way.
Right.
I'll put it like that. And we want to do it the right way. That's Major League Baseball. I mean, there's built more on tradition, respecting the game.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL is about, hey, let's make sure, let's protect the shield. Basically saying, whatever we can do to make the shield look good, that's what we're going to do.
Right.
So we don't want any bad publicity. We don't want any great clouds hanging over. So we're going to do and say what's right. Prime example, the Ray Rice situation.
Right.
When Ray Rice did what he did, they swept it under the rug. Why? Because Ray Rice is a great guy, was a great guy. He never got in trouble, was a stand-up guy, good running back. But he was, I mean, he displayed himself as a great person.
Yeah.
So when Rice got in the situation, they swept it under the rug. All right, we're going to pat. We're going to give you a little spanking. We're just suspending you for two games just to make it look good.
Right.
Everything was good. When that video surfaced and everybody went, now all of a sudden he's suspended. Why? You saw the video. It wasn't any way that you didn't see that video.
Exactly.
But that's the NFL. So listen to what the owner said. When we got people saying we're poor, that was money. That makes us look bad. We can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Versus we signed a domestic guy. This guy had domestic problems, but you don't really hear a lot of fuss. Think about it, man. That's why I say it's not just black and white, because it's bigger than the NFL when it comes to stuff like that. But think about it. You had two people kill people while drunk driving. I can't remember the first guy name from St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, Leonard Little.
He was Little.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Stallworth.
Yeah.
Both played in the NFL right after that.
Yep.
No fuss.
Mm-hmm.
Stallworth is a black guy.
Yeah.
Played in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he did it right. He stayed there with him, but it wasn't a big, you know?
Right.
But it wasn't nothing to make the NFL look bad.
Right.
That's what they are. So that's why I say it could be, I think some of it is blackballing, but you have a lot of we don't want to lose our fan base. We don't. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's why I say if you know, a lot of people talking about, hey, let's go ahead and take a stand and, you know, boycott the NFL by not watching it or however you do. That's going to help, too. But the NFL is going to be confused because it's like, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to not – we got this side that's against him, but boycotting this side is for him, boycotting, you know, what we're going to do. But, again, like I said, it's just because they're like, you know what, we don't want Kaepernick to play because he – set up for the flag, and that's it. And I don't think it's that, because if we boycott, it's not necessarily we're boycotting because the owner said we're not letting him in because what he did was wrong. He's not playing because, like you just explained, they're scared because other people are pulling their tickets away. So, of course, we can, you know, people can go ahead and counter it, and we can see what happened, but it's just a messy situation. It's just the NFL. That's what it is. It's the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. And that couldn't have been explained any better, too. That was well said. That's well said. Yeah. Cause it is all about if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. That's really how the NFL has gotten to be the number one sport in North America. And it continues to be that. Mm-hmm. It continues to be that, you know. And then on top of it, and you touched on it, you have the NBA, whose union is absolutely ironclad and strong because the whole product is geared toward the players. Even the owners know that, and the owners feed into right. that. Whereas you have in the NFL, the union is very weak, to the point where you now have the owners who did not earn the majority of the revenue in the last collective bargaining agreement, got to earn the majority of the revenue. So, you know, it is definitely for the NFL. And just like you, I love the sport too. But it's like what you said, it's all about the dollar. I mean, it's all about the dollar bill. And if you don't focus on that, you tend to want to paint all of these other issues with the, okay, yeah, they're blackballing Kaepernick because he's black, and just leave it at that. You know, you have to dig deeper in all this stuff. You just have to. You just have to. Special thanks to Mr. Controversy. He is going to be one of the six interviews that I am going to unveil for the new program called Revelations. This is going to be my new interview only platform. I think you all are going to enjoy it. It's going to be a little different, and it's going to not be all sports related, but it's going to actually still be impactful nonetheless. If you want to catch the full interview of this gentleman here, just go to Revelations. I'll have that information in the show notes. If you happen to like this episode or any episode you've heard thus far, come on down to ColeSportsWithAZ.com. That's ColeSportsWithAZ.com. You can purchase books. You can purchase shirts. You can also get a free book. And you can join the Cole Sports VIP room. Along with it, you can make your voice heard and felt. You can find all of that on ColeSportsWithAZ.com. That's ColeSportsWithAZ.com. You can check out me and this brand on Cole Sports with a Z.com. See, it doesn't matter where you listen to me, how you listen to me, or when you do. I just want you to do this one simple thing, VIP, and that is to enjoy the content. For the Intelligent Sportsman, I am Cole Johnson, and this is Cole Sports.
You've been listening to Cole Sports with Cole Johnson.